say anything at all. If not, I do desire an interest in your prayers this morning. I'm very happy to be here, very happy for the opportunity to stand again. We had a great week at Do Re Mi, we really did. And I heard a lot of great songs, and just listening to that song, it's kind of talking about how Joseph worried about Mary and cared about Mary. And you hear that a lot with husbands, how when they get married, you know, they stop putting themselves first and they put their families first. I feel like that's kind of a job as a saved individual, that we stop putting ourselves first and start putting God first. Kind of the same concept. When we start putting our friends and our families and the lost people, they come first. That's who needs it the most. That's who needs to be saved the most. But when you look around in our church this morning, and I'm going to say some things this morning, may step on some people's toes, but I'm going to say this before I get started. I'm stepping on my own toes as well. I'm stepping on my toes as much as I'm stepping on anybody's. So I want to apologize for it, because I get beaten just like everybody else does. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 5, I'm going to start my reading there. Actually, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. If you look around at our church, and you look at who's here, and you look at who's not here, we can easily say that there's many more people that are over the age of 40 than what are under the age of 40. I think we can all agree to that. That's pretty much a fact. We've lost generations, and we've lost a generation, maybe even two. Besides myself, Michaela, and Skylar, we're the only three people that are here this morning that are considered youth. We've lost people in our churches, and people are out in the world doing whatever they're doing this morning. And it's almost as if we come into church and we're okay with it. And we're just kind of, well, you know, the church is going to keep on going. It's going to turn around. It's going to turn around. And things are going to become better at some point. Well, when does that better start? That's the point that I want to make. Is that when does that better start? Does that better start with us just coming in, sitting in church every single morning, singing a couple songs, and doing the same old thing over and over and over again, and realizing and thinking that it's all going to be okay? Because at some point, the leaders of this church will pass on. It's life. That's how it works. And the reins get passed down, right? Well, there's nobody else here to pass the reins on to. If I were to stay at this church long enough, and I stayed a member of this church my whole life, eventually the reins would be handed down to me. But if we look around, by that point, this church won't be around anymore. And I know that's hard to think about. And I know that all the older people here love this church and want to see it prosper, want to see it grow, want to see more people here. I get that. I get that completely. But Brother Burke made a good point this morning in Sunday school, if you were listening, that we go out into the world and we're Christians on Sundays, and then we go out and we just kind of leave it at that. We kind of leave it at Sunday. And that's kind of it. But when we go out there, I'll make a point with this, saying this. Everybody frowns in church. Everybody. It's very depressing. From my point of view. I'm just being honest with y'all this morning. That's all I'm going to do is be honest with you. When I sit up here and I sing a solo, I don't think it's that good. I really don't. But nobody ever smiles. When Brother Armour stands up and he would preach, Brother Forshew would stand up and preach. When I stand up and preach, you know, I'm not expecting big smiles and everybody to love me and do all this, because it's not about me. That's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is that we are a happy people. At least we should be. You look at other churches, non-denominational churches, that's the biggest one, the biggest church of them all. And I'm not saying that anything they're doing is right. I'm not saying anything that they're doing is wrong. They are such happy people. They are such happy people. And if you have somebody, say you have a friend or a family member, and you're trying to talk to them and you say, well, you should come to my church. They look at our church and they say, well, there's only about 35 people. time. A good time. I think we get out of that is that we're allowed to have a good time in church. We're allowed to smile and laugh and have a good time and enjoy fellowship with one another. But we get out of that. We get out of what church is. Church becomes a job. Our job isn't when we're here. I mean, this is a job, but our job is out there. That's where our job is to go out and grab people and pull them in. But we can't go up to people. I couldn't go up to Brother Jimmy. Brother Jimmy was a lost person. And say, hey, I'm Dylan. You need to believe me. And look sad. And look sad. That's not what it's about. It's about happiness and smiling to people and telling them that there's something better in the world than what they're seeing. We're not offering people very much. We're offering them a building to come in and hear the truth. That's wonderful. That is wonderful. And I love that we have the truth here. And that is the only thing that is truly important, is that we have the truth. But we have to get people here. We have to be willing to live as a sacrifice. Let me find a verse.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to start somewhere a little bit different. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do we think, if we sit in this church, I'm going to continue reading in just a second, but do we think, as we sit here in this church, that this is really acceptable to God, and that this is as close to perfection as we can get? Because I don't believe that's what this church is doing right now. I really don't. And that's just as much my fault as anybody else's. But it's not. When we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30 people here. 30 people. You think that's really acceptable to God? 30 people that come into our church. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 empty pews with not a single person in it. But we never talk about that. We never bring that to the table and approach it. That's important. These empty pews need to be filled.
Amen.
Every single Sunday morning. Every single Sunday morning. I'm going to make a statement, and some people may not, and that's okay. And you can come talk to me afterward, but I'm pretty sure that I'm right. I don't care how you get people here. I just want to see people here. Because you can go out there and you can tell a lost person that doesn't go to church about the truth, and that's perfect and that's great. But if they don't know the truth and they don't have anything in their mind, they don't have anything in their thoughts about God, and they look at our church and they look at somebody else's church, you're going to say, well, that church has the truth. Y'all don't. So get them here. I don't care how you get them here. Tell them the music's great. Tell them the fellowship is great. Tell them there's a 19-year-old boy preaching. That typically gets people's attention when you say a 19-year-old boy is preaching in front of a church. However you have to get them here, tell them. If you say, a lot of times I'll be honest with you. The reason I get people to come to church to hear me preach, I'll be honest with you. Come support me. Come support me. I'd love to see you there. But there's a difference between mentioning it to somebody and inviting somebody. Because you can sit there and I can say to Brother Jimmy, you should come to, and let's say it's Monday. Say, you should come to church sometime. This week we're having a revival. You think that's going to do a whole lot? Mention it to him one time. That's not inviting somebody. I'm saying invite somebody. Y'all should come to church this week. We're having a revival. It's going to be a great time. There's tons of singing. There's great fellowship. The preaching is always great. There's souls being saved. There's lost seeking. If you haven't been to church in a while, I want you to come with me. Come with me. Just one time. If you don't like it, so be it. But just give it a chance. Just one chance. And don't stop at that. Invite them and invite them and invite them and invite them and keep it coming. And keep it coming. So I'm going to challenge the church this week to invite people. Invite people. Not ask somebody, not mention it to somebody. Invite them and get them here. And we can all sit. This is what a lot of us do. Sit and have a conversation. And say, well, my uncle, I could say this, my uncle, you know, he goes to a Methodist church or a Church of Christ church or a Baptist church, so I can't invite him. You can invite them. You can invite them and invite them and invite them. And you know what? You invite them enough, they're going to get annoyed. If you invite them, they're going to come. So just keep on keeping on. Everybody says, you know, we have these people that we don't know. We don't really know. We don't really want to invite them. Why not? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of salvation to anyone who believes. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Smile when you talk to people about God. Be happy. It's very, very easy to be happy. And we can all sit around and say, we don't have a whole lot to offer here. We don't have a whole lot to offer. But if we keep sitting around in this church and making excuses, and I'm not saying we sit around and talk to each other about excuses, but we all know we go home on some Sunday and say, well, church was empty this Sunday. It'll be better next Sunday. Well, with 5 more people in the church, that's not really doing a whole lot. But I come to 30 people here. 30 people. So I'm going to make a challenge that every single night this week, you invite somebody and you really, really attempt to get them here. I'm not talking about asking. I'm not talking about mentioning them. I'm talking about demand it. Because is it not serious? Raise your hand if you think salvation is serious. Raise your hand. I thought it was. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't just me. Granted, I didn't bring anybody with me to church this morning. So I'm just as at fault. But invite people this week. Brother Armour and Brother Forshee aren't here right now, but they will be. And do you think it's going to be real pleasing to them to stand up there and see the same old faces every single night, every single night, every single night? We want to see new people. Preachers want to see new people. We all, members of the church, should want to see new people in this church. I'm not talking about the community around us. Because we all say that we care about these people around us, but with us going out once a year here in our tent revival to walk around and talk to people, we're not really showing them that we care a whole lot. So I'm not talking about these people. I'm talking about our friends and our family. I'm talking about getting serious with our friends and our family and inviting them because we love them. This is a symbol right here. I love you. That's what that means. I started doing that recently. People are like, what are you doing? Tell me I love you. Say bye to people. I go like that. I'll see you later. And it's just simple. It's very simple. Show them that you love them and that you care about them. Because if you care about somebody, you really care about somebody, you're not going to put off their salvation for the next day, are you? You're not going to want them to have to wait for the next day because you realize the importance of it. Salvation is so important. Let's keep on reading. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member is one of another. I want to skip back up to that third verse, and we'll read it again. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You're not doing this for yourselves. You're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for Brother Armour. You're not doing it for Brother Forshee. You're doing it for the man upstairs. That's who you're talking to people for. You don't do it for your own glory. The verse said to present yourself as a living sacrifice. As a living sacrifice. So you're going to have to sacrifice a little bit. You're going to have to sacrifice your pride. You're going to have to step on some people's toes. You might have to lose some friends. But you know what? Would you rather lose a couple of friends
that really don't mean a whole lot to you and have them look at you a little bit differently? Or just sit there and watch those people day in and day out die? Because that's what they're doing. Every second, every breath that we're taking, we're dying. Time is valuable. It is very, very valuable. We have to care a little bit more as a church. I have to care a little bit more as a preacher. We have to get people here this week. Because for all we know, this revival may end on a Tuesday when the Lord comes back. It may end tonight. But see, nobody in this room, and don't say that you do, because you probably don't, at least I don't, think that the world's going to end tonight. In our minds, we really don't think it's going to end tonight. We all know that's a true statement. But we have to think as if the world is going to end tonight, because it could. Because it could. It is just as possible that today is going to be the last day as in 1,000 days or 10,000 days. We don't know. That's what I'm preaching to you, is that we don't know when the last day is. No more tears will be cried in heaven. That's what the Bible teaches us. But we should cry tears here on earth for our friends and for our family and for our loved ones. Love is a big word. And we say we love a lot of people. And we say I love you to a lot of people. Somebody says I love you to you, it's almost, you have to say it back. You have to say it back. You ever heard the saying, actions speak louder than words? You ever heard that saying? It made a whole lot of sense to me until I got a little bit older. Actions speak louder than words. Walk out that door and scream, I'm a Christian. People may think of me as a Christian. And I say, okay, that boy's a Christian. But if I go out those doors and I try to tell people day in and day out about God and tell them about somebody who died for me and try to present my life as a living sacrifice, people are going to get the message a little bit more. Actions speak louder than words. It's not about sitting here and thinking about it. Because I'm sure that everybody's listening. And I believe that every person in this church right now is hearing this message loud and clear. I really, really believe that. Go out there and share the gospel. Share the message with people. Tell them your testimony this afternoon. Call people. I'm going to try to call some of my family that doesn't come to this church. Some of y'all know who I'm talking about, my uncles and my aunts. Alright? I'm going to try to get my girlfriend here. I'm going to try to get my friends here. And I'm going to try. And I'm going to try to stay on. And I'm going to stay on the best I can this week. Alright? And I make that promise to you. I'm going to try. But I make the same promise back. I don't want to just make this empty promise. So I'm looking at everybody here as a 19-year-old boy who's standing in front of the church making a promise. All I ask is for you to give me the promise back. You don't have to say it. I just want everybody to try a little bit harder this week than what we've tried in the past. You look at Do-Re-Mi, and I know I use Do-Re-Mi as an example a lot, but it's because they're doing something right. They don't worry me. They're getting people there. Every year that I've been, somebody's been saved. Every year. And I thought this year was going to be different. I didn't think anybody was going to get saved. It was Thursday night, and I said to our security guard, I said, Kevin, man, somebody gets saved every year. Looks like this isn't the year. Kevin said, there's one more night. And in my mind, I said, that was it. We missed it. Nobody's going to get saved. Well, guess what? The next night, somebody got saved. Somebody got saved. And that is worth the world, to just see one person get saved.
I don't know anybody's heart. And I can't see anybody's soul, and I can't touch anybody's soul. But by testimonies, there's one person, two people, three people, I'll say under five people in this church right now that are lost. All right? Five people that come on a regular basis. Could be less than that. Could be more. There needs to be more people. You go to Doremi, there's a lot more than five people at Doremi that are lost. A lot more. And it presents a lot more of an opportunity for them to be saved. When you put more people around them that are saved, and you show happiness and love, y'all don't understand what Doremi does to people. You just don't understand. There is so much love and compassion and peace with one another. There isn't much fighting. There isn't much, you know, bickering back and forth. It's all about the love. The love. That's what we have to show. But we have to get people in here so this church can keep growing. So that when I get older, when I get older, when Skylar gets older, when Michaela gets older, if the Lord wants them to be in this church, this church will still be here.
Amen.
Because it's going downhill. And that's just how it is right now. Right now we don't have a pastor. And I think that's okay. Because I want whoever the Lord wants to be here to be here. Behind this bookboard. Behind this pulpit. Alright? We're losing people. And it's serious. So let's start talking about it like it's serious. I have a verse. I have it on my phone. I haven't pulled up. The righteous see it. That's not true. That's not the right verse. Give me just a second. Here we go. Restore us. O Lord, God of hosts, let your face shine that we may be saved. That should be the cry of every lost person in the world. Restore us. Revive us. You could say it like that. Revive us, O Lord, God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. We've already said that prayer. If you're saved, you've already said that prayer. So you have it. You have God in you. He saved you and He's touched you. So share it. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of salvation to anyone who believes. Don't be ashamed of what God gave you. If you go outside and you look up at the sky, I want y'all to stay with me. I see y'all's eyes traveling. Just for a couple more minutes, all right? A couple more minutes. Go outside and look up at the sky. How beautiful it is. You look around you. And you see the trees and the buildings and the people. You breathe air. And God created all of that. He created all of that. You're saying, where's it going with this? The Holy Spirit. God. Who created all of humanity and created this whole world, spoke to you and spoke to me and tugged on your heart just a little bit. And He still tugs on our heart. All we have to do is call upon His name. And those lost people that need to call upon His name, and we know that they do, if they've never heard the truth, how can they call upon His name? They have to hear the truth. So I'll end with this. Rather than suggesting to you or asking you to try to get people here this revival season, I'm demanding it. I'm demanding it for myself. I'm demanding it for my parents. I'm demanding it for my grandmother. I'm demanding it for everybody. Get people here. Don't make excuses for why you can't. Because you can. With God, anything is possible. Anything. So get people here. Try. Pray about it. But don't say that God's not telling you to get people here. Because I know deep down in my heart that God is not pleased with seeing 30 people coming to church and seeing 10 pews empty. There's no way that he could be proud of that. Doesn't it get kind of boring sitting next to the same person every Sunday, though? Sitting next to the same person, wouldn't you like to see some new people? I would. I want to see new faces this week. I want to be introduced to new people. And I want to be able to smile at people and say, I'm glad to see you here. Because that's the way we should think. And that's the way we should act. Actions speak louder than words. That's all I have this morning. Anybody have anything on your heart? I know you're probably all a little bit upset at me. It's all right. Anybody have anything on your heart before we dismiss? Anything at all? All right. If not, I'll stand and we'll be dismissed. Business meeting at the church. Everybody stay if they can. I'll just say everybody stay, not if they can. Everybody try to stay. Because it's important. If you're a member of the church, a business meeting is important. Anything before we dismiss?
I enjoy what you say, but it's true. Sometimes we hide our face from the fact that the church is going. What's it going to be like? Another generation. I agree with you. We've got the ball a bunch of times, not only here, but everywhere. Where's this church going to be when my youngest grandchild goes? Where's it going to go to hear the truth?
Appreciate this.
I pray it to you.
Amen. Amen. I hope that everybody realizes that I don't look at this church as a failure. Because I don't. I don't look at this church as a failure. Because it's still here. And it's still going. But let's not allow it to reach that point. When we see people, because I know we're going to, because everybody's going to try. When we see people this week, smile at them. Talk to people that you don't know. Even if they're from another church and you think that they might be from another church, say thank you for coming. Smile. Y'all don't know how much a smile affects people. It really does. A smile means the world. So smile at everybody. Even just in your everyday passing. Anything else before we dismiss?
Helen, I'd like to share a story with the church.
All right.
My brother and his wife have their church in. And my brother knows better. He knows he needs to be in church. But my sister-in-law told me the reason they didn't go to church is because they don't like Sunday Christians. Well, every now and then I get that on my mind, Sunday Christians. Now, when her dad was a big worker in his church, then when he got Alzheimer's disease and the disease progressed, his church brothers and sisters began backing away from him. They wouldn't come around him. They wouldn't visit him. To his funeral. She didn't like that. That was a Sunday Christian. My brother, when my daddy was sick, had a little problem with the church he was going to. Nobody seemed to care. That was a Sunday Christian. And I think sometimes that I'm a Sunday Christian. Because when I leave church, it's kind of like I forget about it. And I'm not saying anybody here is a Sunday Christian. I'm not judging you. But I want everybody to pray for me. And I won't be a Sunday Christian.
Amen.
Please.
Amen. Absolutely. Let's all pray for each other. Everybody pray for each other.
Amen.
I think a lot of times we're worried about saying stuff because we're afraid we're going to step on each other's toes. I think the Bible, I don't know what verse it is. Pretty sure I'm right. If I'm wrong, I'll be corrected. The Bible teaches us to hold each other accountable. Does it not? Doesn't it teach us that? To hold each other accountable. Change isn't such a bad thing. seeing more people come into this church isn't a bad thing. We need to hold each other accountable for what we're doing outside these walls and inside these walls. We need to care about one another and pray for one another. When somebody asks for prayer, it's not something that they're just asking to get off their chest. They're asking because they want our prayers. And that's from everybody. I learned something this week when we were singing. If you are singing in a choir, singing in a chorus, and you don't give 100%, you're wasting somebody else's energy. You're wasting somebody else's energy who did give 100%. Everybody in the church worked together. Everybody in the church prayed for each other. Everybody give 110% this week during revival. Anything else?
Just a few minutes, we'll come back for short business.